Here we go. What are
Who's
we talking
dreams
about?
crushing next?
I've got a great idea for how to make listeners really, really interested. Rap.
Do it naked.
Do the entire thing as a rap.
Sorry, I let my my MC bust out there for a second. I do apologise, it won't happen again.
So, did you just beatbox? I thought you weren't from the 80s.
I'm doing it ironically.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
So, yeah, fun fact. Got nominated for best student DJ in the Student Media Awards in Ireland yesterday.
Ooh.
So watch out, I'm going to unleash my my radio charms or something.
Now on 97.4 FM, it's the Webcomics Company Podcast.
But yeah, the show actually is like that. We do it like we pick different years. So when we go back to the 40s, I do a proper 40s radio voice.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Okay.
So we expect no less for this. For this.
Yeah, you've set yourself up now.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Webcomics Company Podcast. Joining me today are James Spence of girlsinspace.co.uk, Zoe Cook Robinson of zoerobinson.com.
Hello.
Luke Searle of lukesearle.com.
Howdy.
And. Oh my gosh, sorry for interrupting, I'm terribly sorry. And Matt Dyson of Mookieo.com.
Hello!
Go team! apparently we're the Planeteers now. If that's is that what they are? I don't know.
Yeah, it was Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Super cool.
Earth, air, wind, water, heart, go Captain Planet or something like that.
Yeah. By your powers combined, I am Captain Comic.
Hooray!
Put all of like our pencils together or something, and that could summon like Ryan North or something.
So I'm going to draw this comic now. Don't.
So hey, this week on the Webcomics Company Podcast, we are going to talk about a couple things. First, we're going to talk about Luke and Matt's amazing comic adventures at a convention. And then we are going to talk about the UK/Ireland, Ireland's in brackets because there's not one comic scene. Hey! So, Luke/Matt, why don't you start us off? What's happening? Tell me.
Okay, the UK small what's official title? UK Small Press and Comics Expo, which is one of essentially a series of places that approximately the same 100 people go to sell their wares of small press comics. Lots of people who have web comics will produce collections and other products from there. Some of the bigger names that were at the one we were at today were John Allison of Bad Machinery, Tom Sizzle of Gunnery Court. Who else is there? Who's a big shot?
Philippa Rice was there from My Cardboard Life. I'm not sure. I didn't get much time away from my table, so. I was in one of those situations, again, like I am at conventions quite a bit nowadays, where it's me at my table, so it's very hard to get away, even to go to the toilet.
Okay. So,
I've lowered the tone again, haven't I?
We had a tone?
Oh, that's alright then, as long as I've not lowered it.
So this convention sort of replaced in the calendar a convention which was up at Mile End called the UK Webcomics and Mini Comics Thing, which I had been to last year as a exhibitor and the year before as a punter. Slightly different location. This one was down in Goldsmiths, south of the river, in London. And overall, it was fairly disappointing, I have to say. In terms of the main unit of that, is just in terms of the numbers of people who came through the door.
Yeah, I mean, let's not start on a hugely negative note. I think what I took away from it, I mean, I was being very negative on it myself for a while, but if I look back on it, it is a very promising convention still. I think the main problem with it, as you say, was the footfall wasn't nearly what I think anybody was really expecting. It got a bit busier towards the latter half of the day, but still, it wasn't really what anyone was expecting. Having said that, looking at the positives, it's a better venue than we had for the Thing over the last previous years. It's yet again at a university hall, this time at Goldsmiths University, but the hall itself is a lot more bright and breezy. There's a lot more natural light in there. It feels a much more inviting location. Unfortunately, due to, I believe, the London 2012 preparations, the local tube station isn't a tube station at the moment, so I think it was very difficult for members of the public to get there. I'm not sure what they did in terms of advertising the actual event to the public, so I can't really comment there on if they did it before.
They didn't do an awful lot of advertising because I'd not heard of it. And
yeah,
I actually specifically look out for things.
Yeah, in that case, that probably goes to prove it. But I think it's one to look out for next year. I don't think I'm going to cross it off my list just yet. I'm going to give it next year to see if the audience perks up, because after all, it was the first year for a convention. While it was taking over from the Thing, it is at a different location and it is run by a different set of organisers, so I think I'm going to give it another year to perk up. The audience just necessarily wasn't there this time, and the table prices were very expensive for a one day event with that number of with that number of general members of public. Having said that, just like the Thing before it, it was a fantastic see my fellow creative friends go to the pub afterwards and drink till the wee hours convention.
That's the best thing about all of these, is the pub afterwards.
You were around for the ukulele singing, weren't you, Luke?
I was, yeah. I had to disappear after that. I had a friend's birthday.
Oh, I think I was there till about 1 a.m. in the end. Yeah. I was chatting to the two guys that were up on the stage near myself, and I only found out about midnight that these guys actually work for Nick Park and the team at Admin Animations, but they've done a fantastic anthology comic in their own time and on their own sort of... fantastic, but yeah, they're really interesting blokes to talk to, as well as all sorts of other people. David Wynn, who does Particle Fiction, fantastic comic, is always good to hang out with, as well as the rest of the Marcosia people, and Lem, who does Bunny Comic and all those sorts of things like that, and of course the lovely Luke Searle here. Good drinking buddies, the lot of you.
So can I actually ask a really quick question about this? Because it's small press and comics. Were there any non-comics there? Were there any other kind of small press other? Or was it just exclusively comics?
Exclusively comics, I think.
I think so, yeah. I'm the wrong person to ask. I didn't get much chance to look around apart from my own table.
I think small press more describes the fact that you're getting independent indie people there rather than Marvel's, DC's, or people who have signed up with a particular publisher, basically. So yeah, almost everything you see there is self-published in some capacity.
There were a few of the small print houses there, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the responses I got on a blog post I put up, and it does look like the people that were there are mainly small press, but there are some people that have been quite big with Marvel and DC. They were there. A guy called Shaky Kane. He put a response on one of my blog posts saying that he was there. So there were a few big names from... Well, I suppose... Do they count as big names anymore?
It's all relative, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to sound insulting, but at the same time, he did his time with Marvel DC 2000 AD and then moved off to do self-published stuff. So, can you be a big name and then stop being a big name?
Yes, very easily.
Well, there you are, then.
There you go, facts.
Anyway, so I think, just to sum it up, yes, good convention, could have been a lot better. Watch this space. If you are a member of the public, definitely try and check it out next year, because there are a lot of good creators that go there, and a lot of people that definitely deserve to be seen, some people who do fantastic work. But it just needs to be attended by the public a little bit better, I think.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
So you guys wanted to talk about the UK comic scene. What did you have in mind? What should we discuss? Somebody do something, please.
to me, when those words essentially mean the people I meet at these conventions I seem to go to every 4 months or so. I mean, you haven't been to conventions as an exhibitor before recently?
I haven't been to a convention since I was at university, so it's about a decade out for me now, so I really have no idea what's going on in the scene that isn't on the internet.
Do you have any intention of coming back to the convention scene at all, Zoe?
My biggest problem with conventions is I get very annoyed with the kind of people that are attracted to conventions. It may be different now, but when I was going, there was always that guy who smelled and had a massive overinflated ego and would just latch onto you and talk at you rather than with you. And
well, sorry about that. I was saying.
But that seems to be the kind of person that was always attracted to whatever I was doing, and it got very annoying to basically have my stall taken up by this guy. So at the end of the day, I thought, well, I could spend more time at home getting on with something that I want to do and not feeling like I've wasted my time over a weekend. So I just stopped going.
And just ask him to leave.
It doesn't work.
you're always going to get some people like that now and again, no matter what you do, I think. But I really enjoy the UK comic scene at the moment. There are a lot of genuinely really nice people. I mean, there are always going to be your little cliques here and there of people that take it too seriously, or people who think they're all that and nobody else matters. But that's the same in any big group of people. But
that's what definitely really true.
Has shocked me over the last 6-8 months is there are a lot of people out there who are not like that at all, who actually are really good to get along with. It's really good. I don't know, what do you think, Luke, everybody else?
I was wondering, Luke and Zoe, because you haven't been to conventions recently, do you feel part of a sort of a national, or no, I mean more than national, obviously, because including Ireland here, comic scene, or is your involvement entirely with a sort of non-geographical internet entity of people? Is that your scene?
That's kind of a tough thing to answer. I don't know if I've ever really thought about it. I definitely wouldn't consider myself part of the UK comic scene, even though there are a ton of people who I'd really like to meet and talk to and stuff like that. But yeah, I'd have to say that I definitely feel separate from that. I've only been to the one convention in England, and then I did one here in Ireland as well. Neither went great. I would say that both were verging on terrible. Aside from seeing a few people who were really nice. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel that.
I don't feel part of the UK scene. I'm more of an internet person. I'm very definitely active in the internet scene, but not on a national scale.
Yeah, I feel like there's some space for some way of tying this sort of national scene, which is mostly people who know each other at conventions, and then tying that into some form of into something a bit more web based. I don't know what that is, but I don't know. I feel like there's some link missing in that chain at the moment. I think Matt, we were discussing something along those lines.
Yeah, we've been discussing it on and off over beers for a few months now, haven't we? Basically, it'd be nice if there was a place where you could go to see all these people that usually you'd either only see at cons, or you would see at cons if they visited cons. But it's like, it would be nice if there was this magical door in my office that I could walk through, and all of a sudden I'm in this coffee shop stroke bar where all you guys hang out and draw, and we all can like chat and share ideas and inspirations and whatnot. And I know that's a magical, happy, shiny, hippie type ambition, but it'd be nice if there was some place on the internet, maybe some sort of forum and stuff, where we could all get on. But then again, you move into the we've discussed this again, the area that you're creating your own little cliques then as well, because there's always going to be people that think it's a stupid idea or don't want to join in, or because of the way they use the internet, they don't necessarily go for doing things like that. So instead of getting a cross-section of the community like you actually wanted to do, you've got a very specific kind of the community, and you're separating other people out again. So it's very difficult to know how to do it to be as inclusionary as possible.
You see, that's the problem that we had in fanzines in the 80s and 90s. You had scenes where, for example, the Manchester scene, people who created the fanzines, they would go to the bar and they would go to their local events and things like that, and it was the Manchester scene. And then there was a London scene as well, and they were completely different. You would hardly ever see anyone from around the country. But it had more of a sense of community. The biggest problem that we have now is once you get onto the internet, your local community is swamped because everyone's there. The only thing I can think of to try and get around that is something that's a little bit like what was actually going on at the start of the 20th century with the what were they called? The amateur journalism and amateur press societies, where everyone had their own fanzine, effectively, and people contributed to it, and you had your membership to one organisation, where you sent your copy of your magazine, and they copied it and sent it out to all the members, so everyone got everyone's fanzine.
Alright.
And
I think we've lost Matt from the Skype.
Matt. How do we bring him back in?
Oh no, new Skype.
It's terrible. I don't know how to work new Skype.
I don't know, should we stop and wait for Matt to come back in? Should we keep going? Who knows? I sure don't. I'm the worst MC.
James, you're still on old Skype, aren't you?
Yes.
Do you still have a contact list?
Yes.
Can you try and drag Matt back into the conversation? Because I would do it if I had a conversation, if I had a contact list, but it's removed it.
Right, let's see.
I think we might have to just all hang up and redo the call, actually.
I found a button. I'm going to try and drag him back in. It didn't work.
Oh, did we just lose Zoe?
Hello?
Oh, no.
Oh, we did. Oh, something.
Are you back?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, are you back? Yes, hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi. 5.
Okay.
Right, guys, you talk about amongst yourselves. I think someone's just come into my house. I'm going to have to go and see what that's happening. I'll be back soon.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add 2 minutes to the timer. Oh my gosh.
Sorry about that, guys. I have no idea what just happened.
Okay. Yeah, don't worry about it. So, okay, I guess we should just keep going then. I think it's a problem that you can see online, and I imagine from the very brief experience that I've had, and I imagine it happens often, is that when people want to play with the big boys, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Coming onto Twitter, you want to talk with people whose work you really admire, and that tends to be, at the start at least, the super popular comics. But I think, to get over that, this is going to sound... See, what I don't want to try to say this without sounding like an a-hole.
Say it's cool.
Yeah, just say it. Oh, by the way, I'm back again. It. Hi.
Hello. You can bleep me out if it's too rude.
I'll just go for it. I'll put an explicit tag on.
Okay. This, and what I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to say anything indicative of the quality of your work, rather where you are in your career as a cartoonist / web cartoonist. But don't be afraid to socialize at your level, if you know what I mean. Don't be trying to constantly get the attention of people who are, doing really well from a professional standpoint. Because it either comes across as you're trying to get links or you're really desperate for attention.
Yeah,
don't be that guy.
I completely agree there.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to talk to people if they are nice people and you would have actually naturally talked to them anyway, or if they approach you, ideally, you never ask for links. You never assume that somebody will give you links because they're your friend. Just don't be that guy. Don't go up to somebody just because you know their face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is one thing that does seem to happen a lot on the internet, especially if you've got a blog or you're in some way bearing your soul, even a blog, video, whatever. People assume that because they've read a lot about you or seen a lot of you on videos, that they know you. And a lot of people seem to forget that you don't know them.
Yeah.
So it comes across really strange. It is quite unnerving when someone comes up and says, "Hi, you're doing X, Y, and Z. You live in this place. I went to school with a friend of yours." Saying, "Oh, did you? That's nice. Who are you?"
I think maybe that's a slightly different and more sinister problem.
I wouldn't say it's entirely different. A lot of the people that I've met that are like that, they don't even realise it because they think in their head that they've got a relationship with you because they've read so much about you.
That is interesting.
From my perspective, I do not mind people coming up to me at conventions, if they've listened to the podcast or read my comic. I was generally okay. I think I had a couple of people come up to me at Small Press Expo and just say, "Hello, I've listened to your podcast." I quite like that.
I had that. Hello, those people that heard me here first.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's great. But don't go a bit further and assume that you've got some sort of relationship.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't mean that they're my friend.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that's it exactly. It's the same with Twitter. If you're going to talk to people, be fine. I do it all the time, but lots of other people do it. But don't assume that because they follow you on Twitter or you follow them, that somehow your relationship goes beyond that.
I want a t-shirt that says, "No, I will not follow you on Twitter."
I
would wear that at cons. It would be fantastic. I'm very selective about who I follow on Twitter.
Me too.
So are you guys planning on going to a lot more cons this year then? Is there a lot on the schedule?
I'm doing 7.
Oh, right. So yes, quite a lot.
That is brave.
I believe the technical term is I am a con whore this year.
So, what do you aim to sort of get out of the cons then?
I generally go for two reasons. I go to have fun meeting people, be there people that come up to me as in general members of the public, or my friends that I meet that I already know throughout the general biz, as it were. Sounds so lovely to say that. And reason two, and it might sound harsh and callous, is to make money. Because at the end of the day, apart from socialising and networking, that is purely what conventions are about.
Well, yeah, dude's got to eat, as they say.
Yeah, well, and I'm getting to a point now where my roommate has got another job and he's moving away, so I'm having to afford this house on my own. So yes, I will be trying to make money at conventions, and I don't think it's perverse to be open and say that. I am here to make money. I do love the art, and I love the art, and that's why I do it, but I'm here to make money.
Yeah, that's good.
But when I did the Thought Bubble Con last year, I went with the intention of making money, and I was thinking that would be the way to go. But I think I pretty much broke even at the end of it. I'd say I broke even off the stand and the paying for it. But I did have the cost of getting down to Leeds and then to we actually stayed over, so the accommodation as well. So I actually would say I didn't make money from it,
really?
But that could just be, maybe I'm doing it wrong, of course.
I don't know. I feel awful saying this now, but I don't think I've ever made a loss at a convention.
You are fantastically good at doing a convention. This is if you want a guide on how to do a convention stand, find Matt at a convention.
I'm going to go push in the corner now, guys. Stop it.
That's all right. We can't see you.
As opposed, I am fantastically poor at doing conventions. I'm just not that good at the sales.
Once upon a time, I had a job. It was not too long after I had purposely dropped out of university, and I was management for a supermarket, and I was an assistant manager at a particular store for about a year and a half. And in doing that, I learned a hell of a lot of how to present things and how to talk up a sale and whatnot.
Right.
And yeah, there is an art to laying out a table. There are so many tables you see at convention that are done so poorly, and you almost want to go over there and rearrange everything for them. There's definitely a way of doing it, and it's just the same as with talking to people at convention. For instance, one small thing that people don't realise, I never sit down at a convention. I will never sit down behind my table. I will stand up the entire day, because if you stand up, you're on the same level and same eye level as most of your customers. If you're on the same eye level as your customers, you'll relate to them better.
Yeah.
And if you relate to them better, then you can draw them in. And it's like one of the first things that I will say to somebody when they come to my table is, feel free to have a flick through. And then subconsciously, most of them will pick up the book. And then you've got the subconscious trick in the mind that they have to physically put the book down.
Right.
It's an extra action to do to put the book down. And while a lot of them still will, you've already got the product that you're trying to sell in their hands. And that's a very powerful psychological tool. Lots of little things like that that drill into supermarket managers as psychological ways of selling things that abusing for my own profit.
So to take that to the next extreme, you hand them the book and say, I'll hold your money while you're looking at it.
Oh, if only. But there's lots and lots of little things, and yeah, while nobody knows who the hell I am, because reader-wise, I don't have the huge readership that anybody else has, I do have a good conversion rate of people that come to my table in terms of buying things.
Have you guys ever... Oh, sorry.
I've been called names by a few people who are much, much more talented than I, in a very jestful, lovely way of, you sold how many books?
Have you guys ever had, some conventions, have you guys ever had someone come up who does read your comic online and kind of talk to you about us?
Had people actually. I've more had people that have seen me at previous conventions, bought one of my first books, and then have come back for the second one. I had that quite a lot in the last couple of conventions.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's always really nice. It's really nice. It's nice to have people buy the books in the first place, but to have them come back just feels fantastic.
I see. I would agree.
Yeah, I can understand that. Jen's the same when she's doing book signings. She gets a few people that say, "Oh, I saw you at your last signing." So she says, "Oh, that's great. Did you like the book?" And you can see, because I tend to watch the crowds more than her, and you can see other people in the background listening to that. So, "Oh, this person liked the book." And then you've got more chance of them coming over as well.
Yeah, that's good.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. It may not be a real company, but it's a real podcast.
Sorry, just going back to the con sales then. So what's the best way to convert someone from a passerby into someone who parts with their money?
First, you just got to get them talking to you, get them looking at things, but also it's very, very important not to waste time on people that are obviously not interested.
Right.
You will get so many people walking past your table, and you need to be concentrating your effort on the people you actually have a chance with. There are so many people that you'll get within the first second of seeing them, if they're interested or not. It takes a while sometimes to be able to read people like that, but yeah. If you get the impression that somebody's not interested, don't force them. It's really not worth it.
Yeah.
But my main thing is just be a nice person. Don't pressure anybody. Never hard sell if you can help it. But yeah, just be nice. Tell them you need an elevator pitch, basically.
Right.
And I have the same thing that I say probably a few hundred times every single convention. And it goes along the lines of, "Hi, it's just cute and silly fun. This is Moo and this is Keo and the best of friends. Oh, and Moo just happens to be a cow. But it's cool, she's awesome." And then if they're already reading the book by that point, I'll let them have a flick through and leave it to their own time. And if not, then I'll start describing the books a little bit. It's like, "Oh, this is the first one. You've got the first one in your hand there. That's Moo and Keo go to South Africa. They have lots of fun there. They go on safari, do the rugby and things like that. They also meet the little lion cub, which is this little cute fellow here, etc." And after a little while, you'll find out what works and what doesn't in this little elevator pitch that you'll have. It needs to be short, it needs to be snappy, and you need to have bits that you can put on in different situations. Right. But you'll find out what works over time. But it's all about being concise and getting the points across in a friendly, non-threatening way.
Yeah, that's...
I have a tiny tip as well to throw in, if you guys... I'd like to hear it.
Go for it.
Tell people your name. Not totally uninvited, but if they kind of pick something up, just introduce yourself, because it makes them way more likely to come back later and talk to you. If they're kind of wandering around with nothing to do. It's kind of the same thing that I used to work in retail. I can't say where, because the last time I worked with a person who said where they worked online, and they got in a crap ton of trouble. But yeah, like, if you introduce yourself, oh my god, the robot, sorry,
keep going. No. Sorry.
if you introduce yourself, it makes a personal connection, and people are more likely to come back and say, even I at the couple conventions I did, people came to say goodbye at the end of the day, which was really nice.
That's great.
Mm.
That's good too.
Okay, I've got one quick tip since we're near the end. I used to work in door-to-door sales, and one of the first things I was taught is, whatever you do, smile and keep nodding while you're asking questions, because people are more likely to agree when you do that.
Oh, yes. I shall add a quick tip to that, and then we can wrap it up if you'd like, of no matter how much of a bad day you are having, no matter how much the tube screwed you over on the morning, no matter how much you only got to your hotel at 4 a.m. this morning and are working on quarter of an hour's sleep, people are not there to hear that you are having a bad time. They are there to know that you are a happy, smiley person who really enjoys what they're doing, and they're more likely to buy your things that way.
Yep.
So you smile, even though your day is going terribly awful and there are only three people at the entire convention, because if you're a grumpy person, none of those three people are going to be buying anything.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you're like me and your heart is filled with hate, then just fake it.
Just, yeah, that's my golden tip for everything. Shake it until you make it.
Definitely. I'll go further with what Matt's just said. Actually, one of the things that I used to do when I was doing the door-to-door sales, I would have two things in my handbag at all times. Caffeine tablets, those Pro Plus things, and painkillers. Keep them with you when you're at the convention. It's a pick-me-up. It keeps your feet from hurting. It keeps you going.
Webcomic Company podcast. Take drugs, kids.
Brilliant work.
And on that happy note,
drugs are the solution. Oh, dear Lord.
Shall we wrap it up, boys and girls?
Yeah.
Does anyone have any finishing comments?
The internet people have heard quite enough of us, I think.
As I'll do
nothing more to add, I think.
We're all good. Will they do the wrap up? Will it be majestic and beautiful, and everyone will say what a wrap up that was?
Will it be in the form of a rap?
Word dog. I was Luke Healy of SwanneyNook.com. You heard also on the podcast, boys, was James Spence of GirlsInSpace.co.uk. Zoe Robinson.com. Flashmaster Luke Searle of LukeSearle.com, and
in the house
word, and MC Robert Dyson of Mukio.com
for shizzle.
It's the Webcomic Company podcast, yo. Webcomic.co. Oh God. Sometimes I'm really ashamed of the things that I do. Yeah. Thanks for
everything else. There's MasterCard.
Not a sponsor.
No.
Other cards are available.
Because as we know here at the Webcomics Company podcast, making money for doing things that you enjoy is wrong and should be frowned upon.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Good job, team. I wish I hadn't rapped. Whoever suggested that should be ashamed of themselves.
But it was so funny. That it was a majestic ending. Don't worry about it.
It really was, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I put forward a motion that you should rap every week.
It can be a new segment. It'll be Bang It, yo.
Bang It. Oh, dear.
Let's
wrap this up, shall we?
Wrap this up.
After all, you all know why we have umbrellas at the Webcomics Company. For drizzle.
Oh.
We out, yo.
I'll be out.
I'll go lock myself in the cupboard again.